Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Saturdays with Jenny.
Sitting in the studio with me is Dudu Basani Dube, and I'm really, really thrilled that she came into the studio. I mean, it's rainy, it's not the greatest day out there, and you know, you'd be totally forgiven if you were on the sofa and wrapped up and watching television, frankly, but I'm glad that you're listening to us. Now, Dudu, I mean, we've spoken about, I can't remember which one of the novels, but they were all part of the Hlomo series. Tell us a little bit how the series began, because this is the very last book in the series. I mean, I think it must be like taking off your bra and throwing it out of the window and saying, thank goodness I'm free. Do you know what I mean?
It's actually the second last.
Is it the second? It says the last though.
No.
Well, have I mistaken it?
No. There's another one that's coming.
Oh, okay.
This year. I'm not going to say when.
Okay.
But this is the second last.
Okay.
It's been almost 6 years, 5 years. This whole thing started in 2014. So it's almost 6 years now, 5, 6 years. It started as just me writing something that I thought that I was hoping people would like, which is my first book, Hlomo the Wife, and putting it out on WordPress and people liking it, and then me eventually publishing it into an actual book, and writing two more books and releasing them in 2015. And then I took a long break, and I released my fourth book in September last year. Well, I didn't take a break. I was writing three books when I was doing that in the series. So now we are 5 books in. And there's one. It's going to be 6 books in total. So there's one left, and I close it, and I move.
And then you move, and maybe take a rest. But I'm sure there's something in the back of your head.
Well, yeah, I need to take a rest at least for a year or two. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to leave without writing anything, but I'm not going to publish anything maybe for about 2 years. Well, that could change, but for now, that's the plan, that I'm just going to, you know, do things, travel, eat.
So tell us a little bit about, because it's quite onerous to publish your own books, because of the distribution, because of the everything. And, I mean, every single writer I know who has published their own books at some stage, they carry books in the boot of their car and behind the radiator or wherever it is, so that they can actually, somebody comes up and says, oh, I love your book, where can I buy them? And you say, hey, hang on a second, and you open the boot of the car and there they are. How does it work for you?
It is, now I'm in a very good place. It's working very well. All my systems are, it's easier now. But when I started, especially because I wasn't known as a writer, and there really wasn't somebody who had been very, very successful in self-publishing. I think now people come to me, but I didn't have anyone to go to at that time, and also I didn't know much about just the publishing industry, so I was just learning as I went along. So it was very difficult at first, and I was just doing all of this alone. I wasn't really talking to other writers who had been traditionally published.
Well, you wouldn't have had too much time.
So I was, but also I was lucky because people just loved, you know, there was already the hype was already there. So I knew that I had a market, I had people that I was going to sell the books to. And I did my own marketing as well. But I think about a year and a half in, I got a distributor. And it's just been very easy going forward.
Okay, so once you've got that, once you've got that,
because the hardest part is just getting your book into a bookstore. When for the first year and a half or 2 years, I was selling from the boot of my car, I was doing pop-up sales, I was delivering books, I was sending books through Postnet. It was very busy, you know. I was selling a lot of books from the boot of my car, and the post office, and Postnet and all of that. So eventually I signed with a distributor, and
So where you are with Mess, I mean, to me, because, you know, I was reading and I was thinking, I don't know what's going on. I mean, what is going on? Because, I mean, your writing, it from the time that we first spoke, and it was started here because I heard a conversation of Kaya, mm-hmm. and everyone was saying, you know, this is what happened at the taxi rank. And I mean, how could that happen? And et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, I've got to read it. So obviously I got your book. But I mean, mess is complex. I mean, do you think that you need to read the preceding book at least?
I think, yes, you do. Look, when I write any book in the series, in my mind, I'm writing for somebody who has read all the other books. So I don't know if I can be able to write a book that is just in the series, that is a standalone, that somebody who has never read the books would understand. So in my mind, I have that the person who's going to be reading this book knows the story, knows the characters, you know, will understand and will be able to follow. I think the book that people have said can be read on its own is Naledi, which is the third one.
Yes, that was the one I think I interviewed you for. Somehow,
I think there is, yes, a third one. So I do want people to start from the beginning before they pick any of my. I do want them to start from Hlomo, and then Zandile, Naledi, and Ikunga, and then Mess. So Mess is it's different. The one before it is also so different from the others because it's written in third person and it goes into everybody's life and it gives the history of just the Zulu family. Mess is, it's very short. It's also not very romantic. People are asking me for the next book. I mean, everywhere, just threatening me and all of that. I give them the book. Now they say it. Now they want to kill me. Now they say I hate them. But it's... yeah, it's a mess. It's told from the perspective of one of the brothers and also the woman that he missed. But they're both very troubled people. They're dealing with a lot of mental illness. They're dealing with a lot of childhood trauma. So it's a very... It's very heavy.
That's it is heavy. But it's heavy, but it's fascinating, yeah. You know. And I mean, they're talking about crime as if it's just, well, that's the way they earn a living. And you know, and I mean, there's that one scene where, I'm not quite sure who it was, but anyway, sitting in a chair, and he's being tortured, and he's saying, it's great, I can feel the knife going into my thigh, and it's very sore, but at least I know I'm not going to die, because they wouldn't take the trouble to stab me if they were going to kill me. So I just need to man up, sort of thing.
Look, that's the whole... cracks, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to say cracks, but the whole... The story it's very violent. I mean, these are men who come from a violent past. They earn their money through crime. There's always going to be that thing in the books. There's always going to be blood, and there's always going to be somebody. I mean, they are murderers. They're going to kill someone.
But where does, I mean, there's no sex.
There's a lot of sex. Well,
I mean, there's no love. Let's put it like that.
There's love. There is. They're very, I mean, they're typical, bad men, bad boys or something. They're very loving to their wives and their children. But then, you know, when they go out and do their thing, they're also very brutal. So there's a lot of love. Well, there is sex. In some books, there's a lot. There is a lot of love. They're very loving. I think that's why a lot of females are the ones that are reading the books, that are into the books, because I mean they do just resemble a lot of men that you'd find in society. So yeah, there's definitely love. I think that's why a lot of men fell in love with them, but then they do their things and they're like, no, this is not it.
Because, I mean, it's really, really interesting because, I mean, we were talking about it, I think, 2 weeks ago, because there was this study that was done on reading habits during the lockdown, and the reading habits have changed. So instead of us reading nonfiction, we are reading fiction, and fiction usually is read by women. I'm just saying, I mean, there are obviously exceptions. But this book has got to appeal to both sexes. I mean, it surely... You must have a lot of male readers as well.
I do have male readers. I don't know. Well, obviously, 99% is female.
Is it?
But yeah, but I do have male readers. I've seen a couple. You know, they've popped up here and there. I've never really had like a deep conversation. I mean, with women, the books will start a conversation anyway.
Yes.
I mean, they could be strangers somewhere, and then somebody mentions something, and then it's, I mean, the friendship starts, and they start talking, and there are group conversations and all of that. But I've never really had sat down with the men and had a conversation and have them tell me what, you know, what they think, what they think about the women in the books, because the women are also very strong characters.
Yes, and they are.
They have their own things there. And what they think about the men in the books. I mean, does this in any way reflect their reality? You know, what is it changing their thinking? But there is a man. It's just that I don't think there are a lot of men who will just, I mean, they're not into that thing of sitting and discussing fictional stories or books and want to contact a writer and sit down and talk for an hour about what's in the book. But you're right about fiction. Especially in the past 5 years, the reading culture in South Africa has shifted a lot. Mm. It has changed a lot. I mean, there's a lot of new readers. There's a lot of book discussions and book clubs
all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, Sue Nyati in her latest book, which is
Family Affair.
It's just fabulous. It is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I just read it right to the end, and I couldn't protect
it. It's big.
And I had beforehand, because I had an interview with the author, I just read a 600-page book, and then I looked at Sue's, but I had to read it because I was interviewing her. But, I mean, I think she's done such a good job. But at the end of the book, she thanks all of the book clubs who she obviously goes and visits. Mm. I mean, it's endless, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot. And also, I think what has been great is how also writers have made themselves so accessible.
Yes.
Book clubs. You know, they, I mean, you show up, it could be a book club of six people somewhere in, you know, somewhere far. And we show up, we go, and we have the discussions, and I think that's been great. It's also encouraging to the author. It's also encouraging to a book club because you are acknowledging and you are appreciating what
of course. Yeah. So tell me how you do this writing, because this is complex with a lot of characters, and I've always been interested because I'm quite disorganized. Mm-hmm. So and I know that these characters live inside your heads, and I know they change, and you know, according to the situations that they're in. But I know writers who have a wall in their study or wherever it is, and they've got different colour post, you know. No. And so it's like cleans her teeth at 10 o'clock in the morning, only wears red lipstick, etc. So it's the whole character is there. Mm-hmm. And then as they move into different things so that they don't wear the same things. And go, how do you do it? How do you keep track of them?
I have none of that. I have no structure. I have nothing. I don't do that. I just sit down and write. I know these people. I mean, it's been a long time. You know, I've been with them for the longest time, so I know who they are. I know their traits and their habits and all of that. But I mean, generally, even if it's not about the writing, I'm just not that person who keeps a diary and have things.
The book develops as you go along.
As I go, I also don't have when I start a book, I don't have an ending. I don't do that because what happens is that if you start a book and you know it's going to end, you end up just chasing the ending. Mm-hmm. I mean, your whole writing journey is you trying to get to the end of the book, to that ending.
Do you have a beginning?
Do that. A beginning, I just need to write the first sentence or the first just paragraph, and then it leads me.
And so does that paragraph change? Because, I mean, you've got a little forward sort of thing. I'd say it's because of me again, but I've said those words so many times. There's really no need to point it out anymore. It's a McConkley. There we go. A shit show again. You know, I practice in front of a mirror. Shit show again. And I have no plans of dealing with it this time. And then there's a prelude and whatever. So does that stay the same? Or does it change by the time?
It does. You know, I always have that thing that you've just read, but I don't. It's not something that I put in the book when I start. It's something that I choose once. Maybe that once the book is over, I need to get a quote that I'm going to put in front. So, I choose it from the text when I'm done. And the prelude there is the end of the book. So I wrote the book and finished it and decided, okay, let me start the book with the ending and then give them the story. And then, so I've forgotten. but what I'm saying is that I just have to start. You know, the first paragraph or the first sentence leads
and
with
you're
every
away.
Chapter. Yeah. Because what happens is you start a chapter and you think, okay, well, this is where it's going, and it doesn't go there. It goes a different direction.
Because also, they take you, actually.
Yeah. And then that also determines where the next chapter is going to go. In that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think mess. I mean, I sat down and I thought, I don't know what the heck is happening. I really don't. And then I went back to the beginning and whatever. But actually, you just... You follow it, and it's complex, it's intriguing, it's absolutely fascinating, and I love it that it wasn't girly. It's strong. You're a strong writer. I'm very interested to see what you do when you finish the series.
I'm going to rest, Jenny.
I'm going
to travel. I'm going to eat food. I'm going to do nice stuff. I'm moving to Durban.
Well, don't go to sleep in Durban. It's always a temptation. Dudu, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask you just to sign this because I'm going to give it away to somebody who's listening and who is going to be desperate to read it.
Okay.
And of course, a lot of your books you can buy at Bridge Books. And they're
everywhere. Actually.
You know, everywhere. And I saw this is on the bestseller list at Exclusive Books Hyde Park, for goodness sake. So fantastic and congratulations.
Thank you.
So will you sign that? Thank you very much. And we're just going to sit while we listen to the news. So there we go. Let me give you the details of the book. And it's a really, really interesting book. And it's called, in fact, it's Dudu's own publishing company. I hope that is working well. If not, I think this one will. Pens and so it's the Hlomo series. It's Mess, and it's Dudu Pisani Dube, and Hlomo is the name of the publishing company, and it is going incredibly well. So thank you very much.
Saturdays with Jenny every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. on Kaya FM 95.9. Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.